new rules for the inauguration. Gulfstream gets FAA and EASA approvals for the G650. And NASA drop tests Orion's parachute. This is Aero News for Monday, December the 24th. It's Christmas Eve, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. The planned 2013 presidential inauguration festivities in Washington, D.C. are scheduled for January 21st, 2013. At the request of the Department of Homeland Security and as part of the airspace security measures for the event, the FAA will be modifying the Washington Special Flight Rules Area, or SFRA, and Washington Metropolitan Flight Restriction Zone with additional flight restrictions between the hours of 1000 and 1800 local time. The D.C. SFRA is that area of airspace over the surface of the Earth where the ready identification, location, and control of aircraft is required in the interest of national security. Specifically, the D.C. SFRA is that airspace from the surface up to but not including flight level 180 within a 30 nautical mile radius of the DCA VOR DME. Among the restrictions, the most important is no general aviation IFR or VFR flights will be authorized to transit through the DC SFRA. The FAA classifies the airspace defined in these notams as national defense airspace. Any person who knowingly or willfully violates the rules concerning operations in this airspace may be subject to certain criminal penalties under 49 U.S.C. 46307. Pilots who do not adhere to the following procedures may be intercepted, detained, and interviewed by law enforcement security personnel. As is always the case, the notam may change with little or no notice. Pilots are advised to check notams frequently for possible changes prior to operations in the area. Gulfstream Aerospace Corporation recently received two important certifications for its new flagship aircraft, the G650. The company received the production certificate from the FAA Atlanta Manufacturing Inspection District Office and also earned a type certificate for the airplane from the European Aviation Safety Agency, or EASA. The PC was obtained on December the 20th, 2012, and confirms that Gulfstream's production processes for the G650 are in compliance with Federal Aviation Regulations Part 21. The EASA type certificate was awarded on December the 21st, 2012. By securing EASA certification, the G650 can be registered in the 27 member states that form the European Union. The G650 earned its FAA type certificate on September the 7th of 2012. The aircraft also has type certificate validations from Bermuda and the Isle of Man. NASA completed the latest in a series of parachute tests for its Orion spacecraft Thursday at the U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground in southwestern Arizona, marking another step toward a first flight test in 2014. This test verified Orion can land safely even if one of its two drogue parachutes does not open during descent. NASA says one of the most challenging things the multipurpose vehicle will do is bring its crew home safely. Because it will return from greater distances, Orion will re-enter the Earth's atmosphere at speeds of more than 20,000 miles per hour. After re-entry, the parachutes are all that will lower the capsule carrying astronauts back to Earth. To verify that Orion could land safely with only one drogue parachute, engineers dropped a spacecraft mock-up from a plane 25,000 feet above the Arizona desert and simulated a failure of one of the drogues. About 30 seconds into the mock-up's fall, the second drogue parachute opened and slowed the mock-up down enough for three main parachutes to take over the descent. The next Orion parachute test is scheduled for February and will simulate a failure of one of the three main parachutes. In 2014, an uncrewed Orion spacecraft will launch from Cape Canaveral Air Force Station in Florida on Exploration Flight Test 1. The spacecraft will travel 3,600 miles above Earth's surface. The main flight objective is to test Orion's heat shield performance at speeds generated during a return from deep space. Cessna plans to acquire Jet Aviation's maintenance, repair, and overhaul facilities in Zurich, Switzerland, and Dusseldorf, Germany, further expanding Cessna's global service center footprint, the company said on Friday. Both facilities will begin operating as Cessna Citation Service Centers on January 1, 2013. Jet Aviation will continue operating its FBO facilities at both of those locations. Additionally, the company announced plans to expand its European sales force with the establishment of satellite offices throughout the region. Aligning with the expansion of Cessna's service network, as many as 12 additional sales members will be located in recently acquired Cessna Citation service centers, including Zurich, Dusseldorf, Doncaster, and Valencia, as well as other locations across the Europe, Middle East, and Africa regions. When Aero News continues, Illinois gets a biofuel plant, a new airport for Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and keeping Santa safe.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Christmas Eve 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. A biofuel plant that will produce electricity and aviation fuel is slated to begin construction in 2014, according to Paradigm Bioaviation, the company that plans to build the facility. Before construction on the $120 million project can begin, the EPA must sign off on the company's plan and local zoning will need to be secured. The plant will turn solid municipal waste into electricity and aviation fuel, the company says. The first phase of construction will encompass a materials recovery facility, which will process recyclables, a gasification plant, which will produce fuel for the electrical generators, and a pilot gas-to-liquids plant with a capacity of processing 15 tons of garbage daily. According to a report appearing in Biofuels Digest Online, a full-scale gas-to-liquids plant would come online in 2017. When fully operational, the plant is expected to produce as many as 8 million gallons of liquid fuel each year, along with a substantial amount of green electricity. The plant is also expected to bring 700 direct, indirect, and induced jobs to the region. The Metropolitan Knoxville, Tennessee Airport Authority has approved the expenditure of almost $100,000 in funds from a state grant for consulting work associated with the transfer of land for a planned general aviation airport in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, near the East Tennessee Technology Park. According to the Knoxville Biz website, the plan is for an airport with a 5,000-foot runway to serve general aviation traffic up to business jets as well as commuter airlines, but not heavy commercial traffic, serving the business and technology markets in Oak Ridge. After reviewing several possible sites, the board recommended 132 acres near the Technology Park. The board hopes to have a plan finished by next year. Well, children around the world know the role the North American Aerospace Defense Command, or NORAD, plays in tracking Santa's Christmas Eve flight around the world. What many don't know is the role an organization in Alaska plays in ensuring that Santa makes his deliveries. U.S. and Canadian service members of the Alaskan NORAD region, or ANR, utilize 15 radar stations to monitor Santa as he traverses the airspace around the northern latitudes of North America, a mission that ANR has successfully accomplished for 50 years. The tradition of NORAD tracking Santa dates back to 1955. Geez, I was a mere lad of just 2 years old then. According to the NORADSanta.org website, the tradition began in 1955 after a Colorado Springs-based Sears Roebuck & Company advertisement misprinted the telephone number for children to call Santa. Instead of reaching Santa, the phone number put kids through to the CONAD Commander-in-Chief's Operations Hotline. The director of operations at the time, Colonel Harry Shoup, had his staff check the radar for indications of Santa making his way south from the North Pole. Children who called were given updates on his location, and thus a tradition was born. You can imagine the hoopla today if a misprint in an advertisement gave someone a commander-in-chief's hotline. Well, it was a kinder, gentler America in the 1950s. Anyway, Santa begins his journey tonight, so we'll wish him safe travels. And to everyone else, we'll simply close with a Merry Christmas to all, and to all, a good flight. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.